Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You know, these 80-degree days we have in the middle of the week, you know, you start your day with a warm coffee, but the window's open, but it's not 84 when the window starts. And I mean, this is the first time I broke the sweatshirt out in a couple of weeks here, but Bill Cole is here, and that means that I have the Rofo coffee in the Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy mug. This has been a very, very durable mug. I was thinking about this earlier. At some point, it's going to start to chip and whatnot, and like roof stew, right? But no, man, this is just like a Cole roof here. I mean, look at this, like brand new, right? Probably because it's out of the dishwasher, I think.
I have to make sure that the tchotchkes match the quality of our installations. Is that you're telling me that's a brand thing that I have to worry about?
Your name's right? On it, yeah. You know?
Yeah. No, that's fun stuff. Like I have to go back and reevaluate everything. Like, can't have the hat fall apart too early. Can't have the mug cracking on you. So,
well, you don't want that Johnson & Johnson, right?
Right.
You know, it's funny, man. I was walking through the harbor because it was 85 degrees Tuesday night. And my pal Stan Jablonski was in town. Love you, Stan. Stan came in from Chicago, one of my all-timers, my Dundalk buddies, and we're walking around. And just to hear the conversations people are having. Yeah. You know, because there's been nobody out. So like you're walking through and there's not really music playing maybe the way there once was or whatever, where the rocks in the garden play, you know, music when you walk through the city. But hearing people's conversations, having it come back to life, figuring out who we want to hug, who we want to hang out with, whether Bill Cole's just a Zoom relationship or whether we'll actually get together and get breakfast once in a while, you know?
Yeah, I think the biggest trap is you have to figure out fairly quickly in a conversation whether you want to go down the COVID rabbit hole of...
Are you vaccinated?
Well, not so much that. I'm pretty upfront about that right away. Like, hey, let's just know the rules of engagement here. Like, I'm half vaxxed and, you know, but I'm comfortable. Where are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then we get past it. I mean, like, if you want to have a discussion with someone where we rehash the last 14 months and tell me how your experience, that can chew up an hour very easily of, I was scared here. I got warm there. We traveled here.
This is what happened to my parents and this is what's going on with my kids. And
it's wild. Yeah. I mean, it's really wild. And I mean, I was having a conversation with a guy last night and I was like, all right, listen, I find your COVID experience fascinating, just like everyone's, but we've been talking about it for a half hour and I really would like to talk about something other than COVID. So,
that's where baseball comes in and football, like the draft this weekend, right? And I've been doing a lot of draft talk here this week because it's a natural thing for me because I think I still love football. I still think I love the Ravens. I still think I'm going to go to Vegas. I hear the schedule's coming out May 12th. And we know where my radio life was always like that was the topic, the only topic. I find that the mixing and matching of all of this stuff, including the crab cake stuff, the stuff on social media over the last 10 years when I would talk about my pet or my wife or whether I like bacon or not, or whether I like scrapple or not. And I don't, that these kinds of debates, and this is what fun with, Todd Schuller and yourself and, you know, Cal and the buddies that you have in your Calvert Hall pals and throwing up 80s theme songs and whatnot. But now there's this thing where we've been trapped in doing this online. We've all had online relationships, right, for all this while. And I really am trying to figure out like the, inviting people to my house, serving food, going out, eating in, eating out, whether like we went out Tuesday night, it was 85 degrees. I wanted to eat outside, but I thought, well, Stan's in town. Would we go inside to Pizza John's? Well, he's half vaccinated and I'm half vaccinated. We're in that weird stage right now. Half vaccinated is not vaccinated, by the way, right?
I guess. I don't know. It's odd. The interesting piece for me is that, to your point, so there's all these built up lack of understandings about how we participate, and we kind of have to build our own road, right? You got to create your own path, because although the government has attempted to sort of manage all of us and tell us what we can and should and can't and do for the last 14 months, we've kind of now been allowed to leave the home and go, you know, be that freshman at college. And it's like, yeah, mom's not around to tell you what to do. Like, would you like to shake my hand? Well, I'd like to shake your hand. Are we cool shaking hands? Yes, let's shake hands. Or I'd like to give you a hug.
Are I'm not comfortable with that yet, by the way.
Fair enough.
I didn't shake hands or hug Stan, and I probably would have hugged Stan because I'm a hugger, you know. But I was a hugger. I don't know. I mean, handshake was always a little dirty, a little weird to me. You know what I mean? Fist bump. But if I like you, I'll give you a hug, you know. But like, I'm probably going to be more of a hugger when this is over with than a handshaker, because I probably was to begin with. So, and that's always awkward, because if I go to hug like a big manly guy like you, you know, you're like, ah, you know, like, so you always have that weird thing of being a hugger, but that's the Euro in me, you know?
No, I'm a comfortable hugger. Like, I'm secure enough with myself that
but it's been a long friggin' time since you've hugged anybody.
I went to a funeral 3 weeks ago, and I got more hugs in 15 minutes than I had gotten in a year and a half. Right. So
now you're thinking all that psychological, how you were handled as a baby and whether you were loved. Right.
I don't think I said too much that. I just find it fascinating that people will resist a handshake, but they'll hug. I'm going with the mode of, you know, I come in with the fist bump to quickly transition if they're comfortable with the handshake, right? But I let them know that if they're not comfortable, I'm going handshake. But I can transition very quickly.
When did I become Dear Abby or Ann Landers to try to figure out etiquette in the new world, you know? I'm still trying to figure out your accelerants online as to, like, when we're going to be back getting a buffet and hanging out. And, you know, yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I think that's when – it feels like September, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like, October for indoor things like that? Because everybody will want to do stuff outdoors, and outdoor will allow everyone to feel comfortable, right?
Once you're fully vaccinated, right, now you have your own level of comfort. But I think that people are doing things indoors now with capacity restrictions, you know, and the interesting part is if you go somewhere that's really large, your capacity, even with a restriction, could be like 1,000 people. And it's like, do you want to be in a room with 1,000 people, even though that's 50% capacity or whatever the rule is? It's still weird, right? It's still
too. Well, like the Texas Rangers thing that went on 2 weeks ago, right? Like, that doesn't look safe.
Yeah, I mean, I think
especially with a bunch of drunk hillbillies, you know.
I think that like, if you want to go test normalcy, go to Florida. You know, like I don't think there's anything going on in Florida. Like, you go there, you wouldn't know there was a pandemic. At least that's what I keep being told.
I've spent time in Florida. My wife spent time in Florida. I didn't feel like it was wild, wild west. I mean, one of the things about being in Florida is it does feel crowded. You know, it always feels like there's just wherever you are, there's people, and every parking lot, everything. It's Ocean City, 4th of July, you know, kind of it has that feel to me. So I think there's a little bit of that. In Baltimore, and you know, again, I walked around the city. I mean, I walked through the harbor all night on Tuesday, and I just was amazed people bringing their children out, and their children were kind of well-behaved, and everybody had a mask, and people were kind of staying 6 feet away. And I think we're going to have to uncondition, to your point. I mean, to what you're saying is, at what point do we uncondition? I need a mask. I can't smile. I can't hug. I can't shake. I can't. And when that barrier breaks of humanity, what becomes the new normal, right?
And what we're telling
our kids, right? Like, that's the thing that I'm fascinated as a 52-year-old to see. Hopefully I live to be 65 or 75, that this generation of people, what this does to a 12-year-old.
I appreciate the fact that somehow you think I have any clue as to what would go on, and that it's a meaningful conversation.
Well, you got kids, though.
Pontificate about it.
How are your kids changed?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a terrible parent, so my kids are all screwed up because they just lived through a pandemic. You know, they're totally uncomfortable with other people.
I was a terrible parent when my kid was 15. So, and my kid turned out great. You know, so
they're addicted to iPads, right? they call stuff out on television, like, why don't those people have masks on? You know, it's like, well, because it's on TV and it probably took place in the 80s or whatever. So,
well, I mean, I had Donkey Kong. I went to the mall over to Bricado's and my parents thought they had lost me.
Yeah, no, it's odd. I mean, we were conservative. So my kids picked that up, right? My youngest doesn't seem to care as much as my older one. And she's 10, right? The younger one's 8. She's like, whatever, I don't care. And then the 10-year-old, she's always a little bit freaked out. And I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. We're probably doing more sports now than we were pre-pandemic. I don't know if that's like a mission for everybody to catch up for lost time or whatever, but we've, you know.
Well, I would say you want to get your kids active in something if they've been in a house for the year, you know, like the minute that things open up, wherever they're dancing, this, that, theater, whatever the thing is for them, getting them out now is really, you don't want them sitting inside this summer, right?
Their life. Fortunate that they go to like a little Catholic school, right? So they've been in person 5 days a week since September. But I would say in September, their life was as close to normal. Their life was much closer to normal than the adults.
Most people, right.
Yeah, than the adults, right? I mean, they don't have happy hour. They don't do networking, right? They sure, they go to a game, maybe here or there, baseball, football, whatever, but when you take that away, it's not like obvious to them. They were still playing soccer. You know,
their probably. Emotions also aren't tied up in you. They're not thinking about how stressful your gig is at work or Zooming or COVID hitting your office or how am I going to pay my bills or will the government give me my PPP? I mean, I cannot imagine over the last year having had a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old in my home, you know what I mean? Like that's heavy, you know, that's a heavier thing. I have a business. I have responsibilities. I have all of that, but man, parenting at this point, I tip my cap, you know, like in every way to all of you. And I know that the pandemic has sucked for me. It sucked for my wife. It sucked for everybody, but man, people trying to keep families together. I'm telling you, there was incredible beauty going through the harbor on Tuesday night and just seeing people out with their kids getting ice cream and stuff. Yeah. And it was very, very obvious that like it was 85 degrees. It was the first time in a long time they could do this with shorts on and run around. It was neat. It was really neat.
The trick with them, and this is why you like wear the bad parent badge, is like, you know, they're solvable because all they really want to do is play Roblox on the iPad. So like you just,
it's no easy more, to make them happy, right?
No more screen time rules, you know, like you just, all that stuff went out the window because we're just trying to survive. My son now, right, freshman in college, you know, his senior year got ruined. He probably wouldn't use the word ruined because he didn't know what he missed, but I used the word ruined. And then his saving grace was he's going to go live in a dorm in August. So I can ride this pandemic out. No problem. I just got to get to August.
And as then long like, as I have Wi-Fi.
So right. 3 days after we pay the tuition and the room and board and all that stuff, they decide they're not going to have them on campus. So he, at that point, he was crushed. That was when the pandemic came raining down on him. So he gets back in the dorm for the first time in January. And since January, it has been a circle of errors and just ridiculousness. You know, like he had to quarantine in his dorm room for 14 days. He went home for a period. The swim team tested positive. The ninth floor is positive. The building
is winter.
I mean, it was just, it was one series of stuff after another. So he still has yet to, you know, really begin to experience that.
I hope he doesn't have a sophomore slump after all that.
Yeah. Well, no, I wonder how many kids will end up transferring because they didn't necessarily get to do that back end of your senior year where you go and ride around and look at stuff. And you know, maybe you took an early visit, but the later visits didn't happen. And now you're like, is this really the experience? Well, it's not, because it was, you know, partially at home and then partially on school, But now I'm looking at the next year, like if I'm full in school, but even though that we're on the campus, like we're not allowed to do this, we're not allowed to do that. We're not.
What campus is this?
He's at Loyola.
Okay.
So like, you know, I can't hang out with people from the 9th floor because I live on the 8th floor. Only one of us are allowed in the elevator at a time. We're not allowed to use that place, but we can use this place.
Dude, I used to just go over to Wynwood with girls and, you know, drink grape knee high and watch Monty Python videos and stuff. You know, I mean, times have changed over there. Miss Shirley's down around the corner, you know?
I mean, I'm thinking half of that is still what goes on there. You know, maybe the show's different. Maybe the drinks are different. But yeah, there's not.
Don't watch Monty Python on YouTube, I'm sure. Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing. I mean, I got the mug here. Get that up with the Rofo going on. There you go. And Gordian Energy, he does roofs, he does solar, he does conversations with me. And I used the word inspirer last week. I'm trying to make up some new words here. My wife loves when I do that and make up words. I want to talk to you about this crab cake tour because, like, I feel like you're a real Maryland guy and you've put roofs everywhere. And I'm sure, like, you know, all sorts of laws and taxes and cool stuff. You're one of the smart friends I have. I think you're a little, you're certainly on the more conservative side politically than me. I think you've had more experiences probably with more hardy people than I in fishing and boating and camping. And I did all of that stuff. So like, I'm not like some tenderfoot. I always tell the story about how my Aunt Clara used to try to buy me Ranger Rick and get me like the National Geographic when all I wanted was the wrestling magazines. You know, mm-hmm. I've told this story. So there's so many things that I've never experienced because I was at a ball game or at a concert, right? Because I love what I love, right? So when the cicadas come out, I'll tell stories about being at Merriweather. I want to go to Merriweather. I had Tommy Conwell on this week talking about the Young Rumblers and going to concerts at the Man. I'm bringing musicians on. So it's pretty obvious the stuff I'm into. But I also I want to go deep sea fishing like the marlin thing. I want to do the crabbing thing. I want to like fish in the whitewater like – fly fish out in Western Maryland, Savage River. I've never been to Deep Creek. So I'm doing all of this stuff. I'm putting this crab cake thing together because, you know, I'm a planner. You remember the baseball tour. And this thing's happening. And it's like really real. Like people are reaching to me now and I'm getting a little overwhelmed because, as you know, I don't have like a personal assistant right now. I am my own personal assistant and I'm putting this thing together and I'm really like, I haven't talked to you about it. I talked to Bill Yerman this week a little bit about it. I'm talking to Schuller about it. Dennis has all sorts of ideas about like fly fishing and stuff. Dan Rodericks is going to go with us. I found out that Eric Sauer from There Goes My Hero is a fly fisherman. Like he really knows how to do it and does it. And he wants to go with us. So like, this is going to be fun. And that's just one day, the fly fishing thing. You know, I mean, there's going to be other things I'm going to do. Tillman Island, St. Michael's. I'm trying to track down like Harold Baines to have a crab cake and Cal Ripken. So I'm going to have some people with me. Batman's going to start the thing in Ocean City. We've already talked about that. So give me a little lowdown on what you would expect me to do. And to some degree, I'm not like doing anything in Baltimore. You know, I'm not doing anything or like anything in the 5-6 counties around here. I live here. I'll do that the rest of the year. I do that all the time. I can go to Hunt Valley. I can go to Bordy, you know, which I'll do. I'll do all that. But give me some Maryland thing because I feel like you've been places I've never been.
Well, first off, I don't want to disappoint you, but like I am nowhere near the outdoorsman that I think you just may have projected onto me. Like
I think you've had experiences though, right? You've been to Deep Creek Lake.
I've never. So I'm not much of a fisherman. I've tried unsuccessfully, and to me it's sort of like it's like golf for me. Give me 3 decent human beings, some sunshine, maybe a couple beverages. The golf part really doesn't matter. It's just riding around a beautiful open space and hanging out and having good conversations. That's fishing, except that it's like a whole bunch of stuff you got to do and you're stuck out on a boat. And if you decide you don't want to be there anymore, you're stuck.
See, you just use the word. So, you just use the word I use, stuck.
Yeah, no.
Like I say to my wife all the time, I'm like, boats. I have several friends that have boats and friends I really like. Like, you know, like really like people that I go to their homes that were friends and they have a boat and it's like, whoa, Saturday, hold on. That starts when 8 And then I get home 10 p.m. When? What? Like, what do we, can I bring my laptop? You know what I mean? Like,
right. Part of it is,
it's going to see questions your kids asking. I'm like, is there Wi-Fi?
Yeah, right. I don't want to be.
It's not because I want to watch the game anymore.
No.
You know, right. In the old days, it would have been like, well, the Orioles are playing the Yankees, you know, at 2, and I don't miss the game. And they'd say, well, we'll have it on the radio or whatever. And I'd be like, okay, I'll go. You know, I'm not anti anything other than things that make me sneeze or bleed or risk my life. Like, I went whitewater rafting in the yacht and wound up in the drink, like tumbling over, and thought, this probably, my parents lost one child like that. I don't, you know, like, this just, I'm not going to be in a whitewater boat again. I've done it 3 times. I'm good. You know, I'm good. Right. I survived.
Right. No, I'm with you. It's not anything about it that I dislike. It's number one, I'm not going to be the person that says, okay, I've had enough. I know you all want to stay out here longer, but can we go back now?
Yeah, I got to
so
go back.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that guy. So I just won't go. So as long as I have an eject plan that doesn't negatively impact the other people, then I'm totally okay. Hunting is like climb a tree and sit by yourself. That is just so, sounds so remarkably boring to me. Like, I can appreciate the peacefulness of like being in the woods, right? And just sitting there. And
that's called hiking.
Well, I don't know. So I have been to Deep Creek. Deep Creek is pretty awesome. You go in the winter or the summer. They're both cool. We did, like, I hadn't driven a boat in, I don't know, since before my kids were born. And we rented a boat while we were there. So a little pontoon thing, and we cruised around, and that was pretty cool. I got to believe that, because we went out there last summer, like, did the Vrbo kind of deal, and, you know, it was pandemic-y, but not, you know, because you're not all that up in people's stuff. And I don't know how much more crowded it gets when it's regular.
Oh, it was mobbed.
No, it wasn't bad. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't bad, but there was a pandemic. So I don't know what it's like. If it increases from there, like,
well, I'm going to figure this out. Like, I used to promote Wisp, but I've never been there. You know what I mean? Like, we had ads and we sent people, and I've seen the pictures and, like, all of this, and people are hitting me. Like, Eric Sauer hit me about this glamping place on the Savage River. He's like, we got to go fly fishing on the Savage River. We can glamp. And I'm like, oh, that's perfect. I mean, I want to glamp. I mean, that's one, like, glamp. I had a little girl on. So my partners at Wise Markets, another Wise conversation we're having here with Bill Cole from Cole Roofing. I had Rob Santoni on last week, and he brought Alice on. Alice is a 9-year-old girl with muscular dystrophy. She's with MDA, and she does the camping, you know, every year. And they've really had trouble fundraising, right? I mean, one of the reasons you got involved with me was to do things like having Alice on the show, right? So Alice comes on the show, and she's cute as a button. Go watch it. It's up on Baltimore Positive. And Rob's on. Rob's all stately and, you know, has all the facts about MDA, because Mars Supermarket supported MDA. And then when Wise took over Mars, they're like, we're going to do the same thing. So she comes on, and they didn't have their camp last year. They're not having their camp this year, but they're hoping to have it next year. She's telling me about ziplining, right? She ziplined. And I'm thinking, I turned down a zipline in Indianapolis at the Super Bowl 10 years ago. I'm going to zipline. So, like, I'm trying to find things like that that I've never done to do in August. I've never fly fished. Now, I've crabbed, but I haven't done it as an adult and going out on a boat. I want to go out on a boat in Timlin's on. I want to take the Oxford Ferry. I want to go see the birds over at the Tidewater. Like, I've never gotten off the road in Cambridge, right? I've never been to Chrisfield. I've been invited many, 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 many years. My dear friend Anita McCool, who lives on the Eastern Shore now. So, like, that's just a little piece of the action. I've never been to Chestertown. Heather Mazier is going to join me there. Michael Steele is going to have a crab bomb with me in PG County. So we got all this. I'm putting this thing together where it's going to be a conversation, but the activity part, like, I'm going to call my friend Randy Thompson out at Big Cork Vineyards. He's right next to Antietam. So what I want to do is do like a day at Antietam, and then do a, you know what I mean? Like, I want to make it very Bourdain, very, not Guy Fieri, because I don't really want to go into the kitchen. You know, I just want to sit down and have a conversation with people, maybe local people, about local things, about like going out and figuring out how that road got built out in 68 and sitting there and asking them why they needed that instead of the red line. Things like that. But, you know, I mean, it's a conversation that we need to be having, right?
So, okay, let me see. That helps me. Like I always tell my wife, see, because so with my job, and especially historically with my job, maybe when I was more like on the road as an estimator or sales guy, I got to go all over the place, right?
And now you sit in the desk, right?
Yeah. Now I'm really boring. But
my wife has seen the whole state of New Hampshire because as an engineer, she went out on a truck when she was a girl. So she knows like every nook and cranny, but she had been there 20, you know what I mean? So it's a I knew all of Anne Arundel County when I covered softball 30 years ago. But like, yeah, I mean, there's certain places you don't go and you're like, well, that would be a nice place if I ever went there, you know?
Right. So I would be driving around and find myself in these little towns and just be like, oh man, this place is so cool. Like, not cool enough that I'd move here. I quite honestly can't figure out why anyone lives here, but it's neat for an afternoon or a day, or, you know, there's reasons why they live there, but I just can't. So I would say that whole northern stretch of like Cecil County. So like, have you ever gone down into Northeast or gone down into Perryville, right? Like you kind of cruise by all of that. And they're all neat, really cool, old, you know, water towns, and they have main streets and there's restaurants.
They built the boardwalk up there, right? I mean, the Lee's Landing folks are up there now. I know, you know, so I know there are things up there from a boating standpoint, a fishing standpoint, and eagles. Like this, my pal Doug Meekins up at Brooks Huff, he gets up at 4 a.m. and goes up to Conowingo and hangs out literally with eagles every day. And he's been inviting my wife for years. He's like, you got to know where to go. I know where to go. I know where they are. There's people like me that know where they are. And he takes these incredible pictures twice a week, literally, you know? And I'm like, it's that easy to just get out of bed and go up there and see eagles. It's like, yeah, I probably should do that one day. Right. Think about that.
So I think you go up and you can do like a breakfast in Perryville, right?
Crab cake and Havre de Grace.
Well, no, I see. Okay. This is not fair for the Havre de Grace people, but like, I believe Havre de Grace is fairly well visited. Like if you're going to, if you pick a place up and down that stretch.
Okay, so you ready for this? Are you ready? You ready for me to say this out loud? You ready? I broadcast in 1994, 5, 6, 7 on 1360 WWLG and WASA 1330 in Havre de Grace. And I had to say that all the time because we had a station for 4 years. I was on afternoon drive in Havre de Grace every day. And one day I said, Havre de Grace. And it, like people went crazy, you know, and, you know, and, but either way, I have never been to Havre de Grace.
Yeah. Okay.
I've never driven. I mean, I've been up and down 40 and I know where it is, but I've never like parked the car and gone and had dinner. I have friends. They have really nice restaurants there, right?
I think Havre de Grace is definitely like a gem that.
Well, then I need to go there.
I kind of assumed that you'd been there. That's why I was kind of pulling Perryville and Northeast out.
Why would I go there when I can hang out in Edgewood or Bel Air or like, seriously?
Havre de Grace is wonderful. I mean, we were playing soccer up in Elkton 2 weekends ago or whatever. And
I've been to Elk Neck State Park. I've been there when I was a boy in the Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. I might've been a Weeblo. My wife always makes fun of that. I don't know why.
So Perryville, Northeast, that Elk Neck State Park Peninsula, if you get all the way down that, there's some really cool stuff. And there's like a
vineyard. I've been over that bridge up there that goes, you know, across. You know what I'm talking about, right? That big bridge? Like, do you not know?
95, the one that
no, goes. No, dude. Now you're gonna piss me off. Now I'm going to have to get the Google Map out because you're going to make fun of me. And anybody watching, Bill Cole is here trying to give me a tour, and I call that big bridge, and he's making fun of me, but there is a big bridge.
You just told me you've never been to Havity Grace. Come on, man. Like, you set me up for that.
213 Chesapeake City Bridge. There's a big-ass bridge that goes over Back Creek and the Bohemia River. I have a friend that lives down in that part of the area in Maryland, and I visited him once, and there's a big bridge. So there.
On 213?
Yes. 213 South out of Elkton. There's bridges. They go across water.
Okay. I hear you.
Go drive it. My cousin lives in Middletown, Delaware. So, you know, right. I know that like area. Both my cousins. My other cousin lives near Glasgow. I know that area.
This is not. Do we have like a Maryland?
Some would even call it a Maryland. They call it Delaware.
I was gonna say, do we have a Maryland rule? Because I've stopped in Delaware City, and if you go all the way to the very end of Delaware City, there's a see-through joint called Krabby Dick's, and like you can see the nuclear power plant. Like,
dude, you say that. I have never been to Calvert Cliffs, and I want to, you know, like, so
yeah.
I have never been to St. Mary's City. And by the way, Mayor Scott, was giving me this great story about St. Mary's and how much it changed his life, and he loved it. So, and there's all sorts of crab pull places, crab cake places down on that peninsula where St. Mary's City. So I've done a lot of research. But the western part of the state for me is completely tender. You know, like, my wife and I, one night we're watching NPR. My father-in-law loves trains. So when he's here, and you and I've been to the B&O many times, right? I had Chris Holland on from the B&O talking about the museum and the mascot and the trains and all that stuff. There's a train, a B&O train that runs on the line, and I had to figure out where it was. It goes from Cumberland to Frostburg. I think it's called the Frostburg Flyer or something like that. It's an old-fashioned train. You get a lunch. You ride through the woods on the, like that, So, like, I want to do that. I got to do that. I saw it on TV like 5 years ago, and I'm like, well, if we ever go out there, we're going to do that. At one point, I sat in a hot spring like 25 years ago. I had an ex-girlfriend. We drove to, like, Charleston, West Virginia to see REM play in a church. Long story. But on the way back, I sat in a hot spring, like a hot spring bath thing. But yeah. I think it was in West Virginia. I think it's like Berkeley Springs, like on that thing. Yeah. But I know there is something like that in Maryland. So all of this stuff, dude, is coming to me. And I'm trying to fit it all into 30 days, right? Yeah, and I'm trying to fit it into a crab cake and maybe a celebrity or some local people, a conversation, I'll just call. And then I'm trying to do things I've never done, like zip line, take the train, fly, So I'm bucket listing this thing. I'm wrapping the Maryland flag all over it. And I'm just going to get down with having some crab and meeting some people and spreading some Baltimore positive love,
So just to further clarify some of this, when you say the western part is this untouched territory, does that include like Frederick?
No. When I took talking about Doug Meekins a minute ago over at Brooks Huff, give him some love, tell him he should be a sponsor. I took the Goodyear blimp ride out of the Frederick Airfield 2 years ago. I don't know if you've seen these pictures, maybe. So I got to go up over everything, and I actually saw, like, I've done business with Big Cork Vineyards, and they're out by Antietam, and Randy Thompson's out there. He's connected to the Voltaggio, the chefs, and Brian had a place downtown. So I don't know those cats, but I know of the legend of the great food places in Frederick, great eateries, antiquing, like all of that. I also know they lost the keys, right? But Frederick is not a place where I've gotten out of the car. I know there's a Royal Farms brand new one, 'cause I gassed up there last time I went to Pittsburgh. I know there's a Chaps out near there because, like, I know Bob, and I know they open place, but like, I always make the turn onto 70 'cause I'm always going to Pittsburgh. Right. The only time I didn't make the turn to go on to 70 in my life And this is a tribute to Dick Irwin, who was a caretaker of mine at the Baltimore Sun. And we just lost Fraser Smith this week. Dick and Fraser were colleagues. I would highly encourage anyone to go out and see the work of Fraser Smith. He was an early Baltimore Positive guest and just a brilliant, brilliant man. But Dick Irwin was the crime reporter at the Sun when I was a kid, when I was 17. And I was very open-minded. You know, like I was like interested in anything that these cool people at the paper, if it was a reporter that wanted to take me out doing something and they were elder, I wanted to learn from them. I mean, Rodericks would tell you that, anybody, any of the older people would tell you that, that I knew. Lefty Cray wanted to take me fly fishing and I turned him down. And I feel like the biggest, it's like turning down Michael Jordan shooting free throws or something stupid. But anyway, I drove out that road one time in my life before it was like 68. I mean, I'm talking 19. It was cicada summer. It was in 1987. It was the summer of cicadas. I went whitewater rafting with Dick Irwin. And then I went back later that summer with the girlfriend I was dating and some buddies. And we pitched a tent and started a campfire. And it was one of those kind of things, but went to the same place, a place called Ohio Pile. Are you familiar with that? Ohio, a lot of people have been there. I've seen a lot of pictures. It is the place to go whitewater rafting. Like if you want to take your kids on a whitewater rafting experience, you want to go down the Yaukagany River. And the way to get to that, it's like literally due north of the Maryland state line above Oakland, but it's south of Pittsburgh. It's in the middle of friggin' nowhere, but it's in Pennsylvania. It's the only time in my life I've driven Rocky Gap, let's see, Cumberland. I've never been to Cumberland in my life. Like literally, maybe on the freeway.
See you. Yeah, the what do you call it? The Yaukagany
is how it's pronounced. What you want to do, and I'll never forget this. So this is a little experience I've had in my life. Maybe I've been more rustic than you, dude. You've never been whitewater rafting?
No, I mean, not like do you count the whitewater ride at Disney World?
No, this thing could have been the friggin' Yangtze for me, right? Whatever you do, you don't want to go when it's too low and you don't want to go when it's too high, right? You want to go when it's just right and you can move along. When it's too high, it's like the Yangtze. When it's too low, you're on rocks. If you go early in the year and there's no water, like I remember going and getting stuck on rocks. There was a Dairy Queen and a big cabin. You put in at the top, you take out at the bottom. There's a bus. Yeah, so I did this thing, right? But there's a thing called Dimple, like Dimples Rock, Dimple Rock. Google that. My ass hit that thing 32 years ago, and I ain't ever been in a boat since. So, you know, not that kind of boat. So y'all can go whitewater rafting. I'll meet you back at the campground as long as there's not mosquitoes because I'm tender like that. And but I'm going to like go out and glamp and camp and fish and eat crab cakes and hang out with cool people and see stuff I've never seen in my own home state. Okay. I've been all over the world. I've been Asia, Australia, Europe, all that. I'm going to go to Cumberland and Oakland and Deep Creek, and I'm going to glamp and I'm going to fly fish. I'm going to do all that. So how about that?
You need to go, don't just go to the main place. That's what, I guess this is what this is my message. Everybody knows of Havity Grace. No one turns down into Perryville. No one turns down into Northeast, right? Everyone knows about Frederick and Hagerstown.
Do you want me to go to Flintstone or Hancock?
But well, yeah, I like Walkersville and Thurmont and Smithsburg and Boonesboro. There's a ton of like just cool little towns. But you got to get off the beaten path.
All the places I only knew about when I went to the track meet at the 5th Regiment Armory, when they brought them all in, I'd be like, where the hell's Suitland? You know, where is this Boonesboro? You know?
Yeah, no, totally. I hear you. But and for me, my journey was they all have an elementary school or a middle school that at some point needed a roof. So I'm weaving my way through the one lane roads of Northern Frederick County trying to find this place.
You've had an egg salad sandwich in Boonesboro is what you're telling me.
Well, no, because I didn't have time to stop.
You didn't trust it.
Well, no, I just didn't have time to stop, but I probably used the restroom somewhere in that town.
So, Bill Cole is here. Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. Go ahead, man. Take me out of here.
It's all good. The only other thing, again, if we're not following the Maryland rule, I did make the run coming out of Ocean City south to Wallops Island and Chincoteague down there. And if you've never done that,
so I came for the first time in my life up that way last summer. I came up through the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. We came back from Nag's Head way and to visit my dear friend Anita, who is her family's from Crisfield. She lives near Salisbury, you know. So I came up and I thought it would look different than it did. You know what I mean? Like, it was just that piece of Virginia, that long, skinny piece coming up from Newport News, and just all of it. It was all brand new to me. And there's like a train track that runs along the road that, and I Googled it. My wife was driving and I Googled it, and it was like where they moved all the, you know, grain, corn stuff. Cause this is the front line of America in the late 1800s, right? Like if you took a boat over here and just landed without a compass, the chances of you landing there are probably pretty good, but it really had history, man. Like, very, very clear 200-year-old history. My wife and I drove into a little town. I want to find this town for you because you're going to laugh at me, because like I thought it was going to be more like romantic than it was, because it looked like an oyster town to me. And right. I thought, here it is. It's called Quimby, Quinby in Virginia. And like, it's a quaint little thing surrounded by like oysters. And we pulled into this little town, and some of them are little like real mill oyster towns, and some of them are a little more gentrified with like bed and breakfast and stuff, you know, and you need to figure it out. And they all have apparently big ass mosquitoes after like June 15. And I want no part of it.
Right. Well, we got off the highway because we've done that, the bridge tunnel thing, but you got to actually get off the highway and go into Wallops. There's a pretty cool little NASA museum. Then we rode back up into Chincoteague and grabbed some lunch. And, you know, Chincoteague, if you've never been in there, and Lord only knows if I'm butchering how the locals pronounce it, but it's cool, right? Like it's fascinating. To your point, this is an island, a barrier island. For some reason, people thought it was okay to like put houses, and now it's vacation. But you know, it didn't start as vacation. It started as people trying to survive. So it's cool. I mean, it definitely lots.
You know, my wife brought this really cool thing up. She's like, you need to go to Smith Island and get a Smith Island cake.
Yeah, I tried.
Like, and that sounds like the most touristy thing in the world to do, but I don't know anybody that's done it.
I tried to convince my wife. I wanted to do that. That was like a last summer. Hey, we don't have anything to do. Let's do this. And it's just not as easy. Right. And
You know what? It's funny you'd say that, because you know what Moeller said to me? Moeller owns a place in Kent Island, has family on the shore, has family in Ocean City, you know, like, and he said, be careful. Crisfield's a long way from Ocean City. And I'm thinking, dude, I did 30 ballparks in 30 days. So Toronto to San Diego is a long way too. You know what I mean? Like, how far can it be? I remember they used to have wrestling matches in Princess Anne back in the day. Pocomoke City always had a track team. Fruitland. Look at these places. But have you ever been to the Blackwater National Refuge? I have
probably,
not.
Yeah, probably not. Probably
I have not.
Yeah. I mean, all that over there is really cool. I mean, like I say, Kent Island. I mean, we did a school down in Deal. Like, if you've never driven all the way down to Deal, like, you don't know.
A lot of crab places near Deal. Yeah. When I Googled Deal and crab cake, places popped up. Let me tell you what. Yeah. Bill, it's going to be a great tour. Tell everybody what's going on Rouge, because you've been on Rouge everywhere from Deal to Thurmont to Boonesboro, and skip the egg salad sandwich, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, right now, everything is just pretty much spiraling to a frenzied pace. Like, lots of confidence in the marketplace, lots of new construction stuff coming back online. I think right around the time that Biden got his stimulus passed and it had money in it for the states, so that money's flowing down to the states, and then that's flowing to the school systems and the other systems. And so,
saying Biden got it, what you're really saying is the American people.
What I'm saying is that we continue as a federal government to spend money, and it appears that that money is creating
jobs, opportunities, things.
What is potentially a even more jazzed up economy than we had pre-pandemic. Like everyone says, we're not back yet, but if we're going to, if it goes up from here, I can't imagine what that looks like. I think there's a lot of problem with filling jobs. So unemployment still remains at some kind of unacceptable number, but there's all these jobs. No one can find anybody to hire. That's what I keep hearing. So there's some weird misalignment going on with that. But you know, look, it's going into summertime. That's our busiest time of year. Everybody thinks for some reason they have to have the roof done in the summer, which is cool. We're fine with it, but we do roofing all year round. And solar, you know, again, that conversation pendulum swings, right? Depending on what the government looks like. Right now, it's, you know, solar's going to save our country and we're going to deploy lots of it and we're all going to use it for power. That's different than the prior 4 years. So I don't know. Things are good. You just got to find your way right now, right? And to your point, like you got to figure out whether we're shaking hands or fist bumping. That's
May 7th, I get my second shot. I'm good after that. And then I got like 21 days, 28, whatever it is. I'm not doing anything going anywhere except right here with you. I'll see you next week. All right.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Bill Cole joining us here and helping me. Like, literally, he's like, I haven't been anywhere. You underrate me. Dude, you've been to Boonesboro. You've been to Thurmont. You know, you were very, very helpful, even though you think you weren't. You even gave me places on Eastern Shore.
I got you.
Didn't even want to participate.
Google Maps is a great little thing to have on the other screen while you're talking. You can just pick out these random names and throw them.
Oh, we're old. We've driven a lot of Route 13s in our day. Right?
You can't argue with me because you've never been there, so I can just make it up and you have to tell me different.
Well, this is going to be the month I actually get out of the car. How about that? Bill Cole joining us here. I am Nestor. Another wise conversation. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.